Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Michael Kay joining you guys this Thursday evening. I want to thank you very, very so much for taking the time to be with us tonight. A lot of stuff is going on. Right off the top, we want to acknowledge that the Democrat National Convention is in full swing right now in Charlotte, North Carolina. I do believe the president is expected to speak after 10 o'clock, but our show will be way done and over before then, so no need to worry for those of you that want to listen to us and also plan on listening to the president's speech tonight. Also, with that said, a lot of things going on around At Home with Victoria. But first and foremost, I want to bring in my radio husband, entertainment co-host Michael Kay, who many of you know lost his hubby, Steve. So, Michael, I know you've been getting so many thank you. I'm sorry, just not thank you cards, but cards of condolences, emails and all that, and I know you really wanted to take the time before we start the show with Cindy Johnson tonight to kind of say, hey, you know, thank you.
Yeah, I do want to actually thank everybody from up in Facebook. I've gotten over 300 personal messages and on Steve's page as well. Not to sound really corny, Victoria, but it is overwhelmingly humbling to experience mm-hmm. that level of care and well wishes. So I do want to take the time to, you know, thank you all for doing so. Yeah, Steve passed on the 28th, very quietly in his sleep. So it happened the way it should have happened. But I'm really excited to go ahead and have Cindy Johnson. Cindy Johnson is on the show tonight, and she's also got MS, and she's an amateur bodybuilder and just a source of inspiration. And Vic, she's a workout freak. You're going to absolutely love her.
I know. Well, of course, I've already had the opportunity to research a little bit through you about her before the show. And really, all you have to do is look at her pictures, and you're like, holy cow, are you kidding me? I really need to up my game, and this Zumba is just simply not going to be enough if I want to look anything like Cindy Johnson. But also, I want to mention that Michael Kay and I are going to put together sort of a series of a special small tribute here and there.
The best of At Home with Victoria,
Yeah. But we're also going to put some small tributes together throughout the shows for Steve, is what I wanted to talk about. So we're not going to do anything tonight because, you know, we need to do a little bit of planning when it comes to that. But you guys will definitely know because that is something that Michael and I, but especially Michael, wants to do in Steve's family is to celebrate his life and his legacy and what he will continue to mean to all of us. So with that said, Michael, so we've got Cindy Johns, we've got some Get Music on tonight also.
Absolutely. Brett Michaels from Visual Flight Rules is going to be joining us a little bit later. Again, Marilyn Bennett turned me on to him, a fantastic little guy. So we're going to open with a song from Brett Michaels called Let It Go. But when we get back, Cindy Johnson will be in the chair. Don't go anywhere.
I just let go inside the first time in a very long time, and now I pray for no consequence, but I won't hide this time, no, 'cause life begins right here. The place I always feared. Yeah, so breathe in, let it go. can't claim my innocence. I won't hide from myself. 'Cause life begins right here, the place I always fear.
I tell you what, you and Mar Bennett, who is our executive producer for At Home with Victoria, along with Mike Cullip, who's the producer, you guys find the best talent, I'm serious, that's out there. I mean, I don't know how you guys do it because I couldn't do it, but you do it, and I just love it. I mean, every single artist that you guys bring to the show, they're always just, you know, just top
notch. If there's talent out there, we will find it, like we found Cindy Johnson, who's joining us for the first time on At Home with Victoria. Cindy, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you for inviting me.
What did you think of the song, hon?
I loved it. Oh, my goodness. It was awesome.
Good taste. Vic, Vic's a workout freak. We had this long conversation this weekend while she was sitting here, and we said both, by looking at your picture, we feel like big fat slobs.
No way. Yes. No, you're far from that. No, stop that.
We feel like Michael and I were looking at pictures of you, and I said, you know what, dude, this 45 minutes to an hour Zumba that I do every single day and 30 minutes of either working my upper or lower body, it's just simply not going to cut it. Because if I'm going to look anything like that, things really need to change. So, I mean, I know, Cindy, you probably get this all the time. Are people just simply amazed by the fact that you have MS, you suffer from MS, but you still find the time and have the ability to train and to look the way that you look as an amateur bodybuilder?
You know what? Half the time people just ignore the fact that I have MS and just don't even realize that I have it. They just, it's like, I think, an afterthought. You know, they just like, oh, she's just in a wheelchair, and don't even realize what I actually go through to actually have to get up and get into the gym. they don't realize that maybe the night before, you know, I didn't sleep or, you know, actually woke up, you know, just crying to try to get into the gym, you know, or am just literally crying on the inside because I am in so much pain to try and accomplish that workout, because, you know, the pain that we go through to have MS, you know, the neuropathy or the pins and the needles or the ataxia, you know, the spasms that we have, you know, it's just, you know, it's a part of life that we, you know, deal with.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just push through it and you know, go through it, because bodybuilding is just such a passion. It was always a passion from the very beginning.
Right.
But, you know, I envy you being able to do the Zumba classes because, oh, my gosh, that looks like so much fun. I miss that. That is the one thing, being in a wheelchair, I miss dancing. I so miss doing that.
When were you diagnosed, Cindy, with MS?
That took many years. I first started showing signs in 2005, but it wasn't actually until 2010 that I got my first official diagnosis. I went through probably 8 doctors and the Mayo Clinic trying to get an official diagnosis.
Wow.
Now, do you think that in large part was because MS was sort of maybe at that time new to the medical community, and they didn't sort of have their standards and regulations in place in terms of diagnosis and knowing, you know, what symptoms and signs? Or do you just think that that's just how it was for you?
No, it was how it was for me. My lesions were actually hidden. My spinal cord is the lesion itself.
Wow.
They did not discover that lesion, and then the lesions actually started popping up. Eventually, they didn't realize that the spinal cord itself was a lesion.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they started, you know, appearing. They didn't realize that all the symptoms that I had, of course, you know, were, you know, symptoms of MS. And then, you know, and I kept telling him, hey, this is what I have. I know this is what I have. Other doctors were saying, yeah, this is what she has. But no neurologist would back it up. And then all of a sudden, boom, here comes this lesion that finally appeared. And then a specialist saw that the spinal column, you know, the spinal cord, excuse me, itself was one huge lesion.
Wow.
With lesions appearing upon it. And it was, you know, hear this, you know, a revelation, you know, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the diagnosis was finally official at that point.
Yeah. For those who don't, listening, who don't actually know what multiple sclerosis is, it's basically the myelin around your nerves are being destroyed by its own body, much like Cindy describes her lesions in her spine. Think of it as an electrical, like an electric cord, how the rubs away as those live wires are allowed to go ahead and do their own dance of whatever the hell it is. So with that,
just like the bare nerve is exposed, you know,
right.
And the brain reads that as just pure pain, just raw pain.
Wow.
And, you know,
your pain was
no amount of drug that'll take that away.
Yeah, your pain,
you know,
was what because
with.
Steve's was burning underneath his feet. What were your first symptoms of of the pain? Because everybody's different.
Mine was the feet.
It started
with the feet, yeah. And it just, the way I explained it to most people, you know, was it's like sitting in a vat of acid while you're being chewed on by fire ants.
Jeez. Yeah, that sounds familiar. Vic?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here listening to that, because it also amazed me when you said that there is no amount of medication, whether it's pain medication or anything, that they actually give you that helps, you know, with that, or to really even take it away. So with that said, with you being in the gym, obviously, does that give you some type of help? I mean, does that sort of inadvertently help you through some of the pain or to take your mind and focus off of VMS?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, most definitely. Most definitely. Now, afterwards, no.
Right.
You know, but I, you know, I can differentiate the soreness from that workout from my MS pain because I, you know, my mind can remember that pain. I can differentiate the, you know, the gym soreness from the MS, but there are days that, you know, it'll crisscross. And, you know, I'll just be knocked out from it. You know, I cannot get out of bed. There's
mm-hmm.
just no way.
Yeah.
But then there's days, you know, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. You know, I've got to push through it. I got to put, you know, push past it and get in there and do what I, you know, do what I do best.
How long did it take for you actually to go into the wheelchair upon diagnosis?
That was an overnight thing.
Really?
I had a seizure that was so severe that the L4, L5 basically herniated so severely that it entrapped the sciatic nerve and started severing it.
Jeez.
And I went into a coma for almost about 12 weeks. And it severed it to the point where I have left leg paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
And they did surgery, and I went into a rehabilitation facility. They tried to get me, you know, back up and back walking again, and it never happened. I never regained use of that leg. And so,
now, prior to all of this, Cindy, prior to 2005, when Michael had asked you the question about when you were first diagnosed, you were healthy? You never had any type of health problems before?
Nope. Nothing at all. Just being a goofball in the gym and messed up my shoulder, broke my neck, you know, had a
right.
C4, C5 discectomy. I have a, you know, a titanium implant in my neck. And had some reconstructive surgery on the shoulder from, you know, just working out too hard and stuff like that. But other than that, no, nothing, you know, really whatsoever other than, you know, just childhood illness, no.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been a gym rat all your life, basically.
No, I actually started bodybuilding when I was 30. I was severely overweight. I started in 1999, I went into the gym for the first time at weighing over 200 pounds.
Wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. So there is yet, and I always say this, another example about it doesn't matter, you know, like how old you are, how much you weigh, you know, none of that stuff matters. I mean, that when you decide to make that decision to change your life and to take care of your body, you know, it's a decision I think that one makes. Because I honestly, Cindy, I just assumed that, you know, looking at your pictures and not having the opportunity to interview you and talk to you yet, like Michael thought, I just thought you were a gym rat like your entire life, like, you know, from the time that you were a teenager into your 20s. So, yeah, that's a good lesson to know that it didn't start until you were, 30. Interesting.
No, and just not over 2 years ago, I was over 200 pounds.
Wow.
And, before the wheelchair, I was on using the loft strand crutches, or what they consider forearm crutches. And
mm-hmm.
I was in about almost a 3X. I was extremely overweight. Yes, I'm very, very overweight.
How tall are you?
And 5'4".
Oh,
wow!
You're a short little shit too. You look taller sitting in a chair. It's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've shrunk over the years. You know, due to all the back surgeries and everything. I was 5'6", and now I'm down to about 5'4". Now I've had about 7, 8, you know. Befuddled MS brain, I give, you know, so yeah, I'm about 7 going on 8 now. I'm about to, they're trying to get me to have another one, you know, to try and help with the pain and everything. But yeah, 5'4" now.
Let's talk about your medicinal routine. I just know the number of pills that Steve was on, all of them treating symptoms, not the source. So what are you basically on right now? I know you're on fentanyl.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That is a daily, every 2 days I'm on a fentanyl patch. I also have to take Norco, unfortunately, every 6 hours. I take tinzendine every 6 hours or 3 times a day. Plus, unfortunately, I have to have what they consider the generic little, or the not say generic, but the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday pill pack.
Oh, okay.
And it's morning, noon, evening, and bedtime, the little pill case.
Yeah.
And it is filled to the brim. I take about 65 pills.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Between all my seizure meds.
Yeah.
And the MS medication and the pain pills. Yes, it's
right.
It's pretty sad.
With your basic MS medication, are you on Avonex, Betaseron, Copaxone? What are you?
I can't take any of the crab meds.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
my body is allergic to. No, I have very bad adverse reactions to them.
I'm so sorry.
Well,
sick.
Well, just
you do
the mere, just the mere fact that you take alone all of those meds. That honestly, I can't even begin to wrap my brain around. I still find it absolutely amazing, but in the wonderful way that you are still able to get up every single day to go about your life the best way that you can, but not only that, to be able to sculpt this body that you have, considering now we know that you are also overweight. So with that said, Cindy, I get emails from time to time when our show, of course, it is on live, and this is something that I was getting ready to ask, but a listener in New York wants to know, so when you are inside the gym and you're working out, they want to know if you can talk about your regimen and how difficult is it to work out inside a wheelchair, or do you physically have to have guys or a workout partner lift you out of the chair to, for example, take you around to those different stations to do your workout?
No, I can lift, since I work out my upper body, you know, I focus on that a lot. Now I'm still able to, you know, transfer in and out of the chair, you know, by myself.
Okay.
And I'm fortunate enough to be in a really great gym to where the guys in there, anybody in there will, you know, help me out with anything that I need. They'll actually even move a machine to help me get through the gym, you know. I actually work out in a gym that's not even handicap accessible, but
wow.
They will actually take a, you know, 1,000-pound machine and move it 3 inches for me to, you know, wiggle in and out of wherever I need to go.
Yeah, well,
touching
definitely by your forearms. I mean, you can lift a car off a child, for God's sake, Cindy. But, I want to go quickly to the amateur bodybuilding and stuff. How many awards have you won now? How long have you been in the circuit? Because you're friends with Bobby Mimenthaler, who's a
yes.
fantastic.
Oh, my gosh, I love him so much. That's my hero. That's my I call him my supernova. I
Sweet.
Adore him just beyond words.
Wow. How many awards have you won now, amateurly?
Oh, my goodness. I can't even count. I have so many trophies. Wheelchair or all together?
Let's go all together. I would love to know all together, and then we'll segment into the wheelchair trophies.
Oh, gosh. 50? Not that many. I would say
30.
Maybe 20, 15, 20, maybe.
Wow.
That's That's impressive.
Yeah.
And then aftercare.
Well, I've only done two shows, so two wheelchair shows. The one, the division I started here in Rockford, so I won the overall, first place overall and best poser, and then I went to New Orleans and won first place and the overall there.
Wow,
so
fantastic.
Five.
And you got a show coming up in November.
Yes, I do.
Where's
that one? Here in Rockford, the division I started, which is the Mid-States Muscle Classic, and it's the 25th anniversary edition, the 25th anniversary of the Mid-States Muscle Classic, and that is the very first show I ever did back in 2001 as a walking competitor was the Mid-States Muscle Classic. And Nick Scott, who is my inspiration for doing wheelchair bodybuilding, will be one of the guest posers.
Oh, really?
Oh.
At the show. So I'm very, very excited to be a part of this. This is going to be just an absolutely phenomenal show. And, you know, thanks to Kevin Noble, you know, who's the promoter. He's the one that actually helped start, you know, help me, you know, get back into wheelchair bodybuilding, you know, because, you know, I, you know, aggravated him to actually start that division, you know. So, you know, thanks to him and, you know, thanks to, you know, Nick, you know, for me to meet him all those years ago and to give me the guts to get back into bodybuilding.
And do it.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I have a question that I wanted to ask because I'm sitting here right now, Cindy, looking at your Facebook page, and there's a wonderful picture with all of you bodybuilders in your wheelchair. So I'm sure, like, words could never probably really properly express or explain what it is and what the competition does for, like, all of these faces that I'm seeing on your Facebook page. I mean, it must be an amazing thing, event for all of those guys and women to be a part of.
That's one of, when I went to New Orleans, that had to be one of the most beautiful experiences of my entire life, to actually go in and meet all of the wonderful, beautiful, amazing athletes there. I mean, the minute I went in to check in, and, you know, I had, you know, corresponded over Facebook and spoke with the competitors that way, but to actually meet them face to face was so surreal and just so beautiful. And at that very at that very moment was the very first time I ever actually accepted being in a wheelchair.
Wow.
It, you know, I always felt, you know, trapped still, even though, you know, I had been in the wheelchair for, you know, quite some time. At that moment, it was total pure acceptance, and I didn't feel trapped anymore. I didn't feel like a prisoner in my chair any longer, and it was
It sounded
it
like liberation
beautiful.
For you, in a sense, like liberation.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It truly was.
Cindy, we got a live chat going on here. I want to make mention to everybody, all the new guests, Marby in Nashville, still reading symbols from your post, so just mindful of that. And Sandy from Nebraska actually asked a really good question just to piggyback off that. But how did you deal, and we all know that you went through depression, but how did you deal with your depression? Was it medicinally, or was it actually, again, back in the gym?
It was getting back in the gym.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that first day was rough. It was it was really tough. I'll tell you, I went in that gym and I went straight into the bathroom and cried. And you know, I came out and, you know, I went straight to a bench press and you know, I did a couple of sets and then went back into the bathroom and I cried and you know, I pushed through it, but, you know, I went, you know, I came home and I was like, yes, you know, I did the little Rocky, you know, hands up in the air victory thing, you know, but it was great, you know. I kept going through it, and every day it became easier and easier, and I felt at home. I was like,
well,
I'm back home.
Well, I find it amazing. I mean, I find it amazing, Cindy and Michael, that it's kind of like the script actually is sort of reversed. Because, for example, today I'm in my class and I'm exhausted and I'm doing my Zumba. So a lot of times on Thursdays, if I have my Zumba class, and we always have shows on Thursday, my mind is on Zumba, but I'm also thinking about, you know, who we're going to interview, what we're going to talk about, and so that's always halfway on my mind. So I was getting so tired in class, and I was like, God, when is this class going to end? I'm ready to get out of here. And then, of course, I started thinking about Cindy. So I thought, now surely if Cindy in her state can go into the gym and look the way that she looks and she's in a wheelchair, surely, Victoria, you can stop complaining.
Locked up, chick.
This, right, you can stop complaining and finish this last 15 minutes of this class and just, you know, cut it out. So Cindy, I was actually saying that that now you're kind of in the reverse, because people look at you, like Michael and I look at you, and we're like, holy crap, look at this lady. I mean, like, you inspire us. So, I mean, did you ever think that, you know, you would be the one who would be sort of spouting the inspiration for other people?
Never. And I still can't even wrap my mind around it. I still can't. I still don't think that way. People say that to me, and I'm like, no, you're your own inspiration, and that's what I want people to be for themselves. That's the way they should be. You know, that's the way I want them to be.
Well, I mean, you don't choose how you inspire, honey, and I think you know, inspiring enough is getting up out of bed. You know, that's friggin' inspiring.
Yeah.
The last couple weeks, seriously, the only thing that's been getting me out of bed is knowing I can go back to sleep. So it's one of those things. But, Cindy, we're running out of time. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight. And where can people go ahead and follow you and find you and stuff? I know you're on Facebook.
Yes, I'm on Twitter also.
Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
I think it's Dragon. Yeah, Dragon Keeper 2.
I can keep her too.
We'll find it. Mar, our executive producer, Mar Bennett, trust me, that woman who's based out of Tennessee, she can find anything. So we'll find it, Cindy, and we'll post the link, and we'll look forward to that competition. So keep in touch with Michael, because we want to keep all of our listeners in touch to let everybody know how that competition went for you. And please post pictures, because, you know, we're super interested in you and in what you do, for sure.
Oh, most definitely. And thank you, Victoria, so much for tonight. It has been a pleasure, big pleasure.
Oh,
thank
honey.
You so very much.
Love you a million
thank you.
Times.
Love you, Michael.
Love
so
you
much,
more.
Darling.
Let's get together for drinks.
It's a love fest.
It's a love fest. Big love fest. Love and hugs.
Cool beans,
bye-bye.
Buddy. Love you, Tessie. Take care.
Love you, sweetie. You take care, too, darling.
Thanks, doll. Cindy Johnson. I told you she was inspiring,
she is
Vic.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. And you know what? I am so glad that you said to her, you know, like when I'm like, you know, you inspire me. I mean, you know, inspiration, although I totally understand what she means when she says, hey, you know, sort of find your own inspiration. But when inspiration happens, it happens. I mean, you just look at her and you instantly become inspired. So sorry about that, Cindy. I can't do anything about that. I'm always going to feel that way when I look at you. It just makes me want to do a better job. But I know Mar is tracking down her Twitter information. Plus, we'll post her link.
We'll post everything.
Inside Facebook. Because, guys, I'm telling you, you just have to look at her pictures. I mean, well, for one thing, she's gorgeous as all get out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she's gorgeous. So.
Yeah, she needs to get her roots done. But that's just between you and I, the great blue sky.
My,
no, I'm just kidding. Cindy knows I love her, so there's no harm.
That's Michael being a stylist.
Absolutely. But Brett Michaels is holding patiently online, so I'm going to go ahead and go right to one of his songs, Brett Michaels with Visual Flight Rules. The song is called What Are You Waiting For? Very typical. I mean, what are you waiting for? Follow Cindy's advice. But when we get back, Brett Michaels will be sitting in the chair. Don't go anywhere.
Staying away from you each time. You say these things take time, and still don't feel quite right. But it's cool, I don't really mind. And I'm gonna be the strong one today. Say what your other friends might not say. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And you say you're kind of tired, you're kind of wiped out. It's been a long day again. And you're sorry to be a slave, but you'd rather just stay in. Besides, you ain't got much to say. And I'm gonna be the strong one today. Say what your other friends might not say. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Life ain't gonna be the same. He's not coming back, my friend. It's time to let him go and just breathe again. And I know it may never feel quite right. Hold back 'cause you're holding on so tight. What it was, ain't what it's gonna be. Another try. I'm gonna be the strong one today. Say what your other friends might not say. You should know that you're worth the wait. What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? I don't know what the hell I'm waiting for, Victoria, but I want to go ahead and say welcome to Mr. Brett Michaels, first time on At Home with Victoria. Buddy, your tunage is amazing. I'm so happy to finally meet you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Vic was going gaga over your music, by the way.
Yes. Yay. Yes, I was. I said, because, Brett, the thing is that Michael and I, we like to play our guest music, and we sort of listen to it the first time that everybody else does, so we can have sort of that visceral reaction like everyone else. So Michael was sort of doing sound checks before the show, so he would kind of do, you know, 30 seconds of this song of yours, and I was like, oh, I like that one. I was like, oh, no, oh, I really like that one. I'm like, no, I really like that third one. Play that third one. So it's clear,
yeah.
I like all your music.
Thank you so much. It's great to hear.
So, buddy, you're calling in from Los Angeles tonight, correct?
Yes, I am. Absolutely.
Were you always a Cali boy? I know you were born in Germany. You traveled around Europe. And how did you eventually find LA as being your home base?
Well, my father, when he retired from the Air Force, we ended up here, and he went to work for some company, and we've been here. I've been here ever since.
What's it like being an Army brat?
It's. You know, it's interesting to reflect on. You know, it just comes. Everybody has their own thing, and I would never want to speak as though I had a rough go at it. I had an amazing childhood. It's just, it's different. It's just a different thing, and there's certain kind of tendencies, anal tendencies that you grew up with, I guess. and the perfectionist thing is something I've been trying to shake. And, you know, I think there's everything is drilled into you to be the very best you can be. And in a way, it's really good and motivating. In another way, you kind of feel like, I don't know that you can ever achieve perfection. So, you just do the best you can and hopefully enjoy yourself. So, the harder part of it is that, but the great part is that you grew up in a very, very, very safe environment with just some of the most amazing people. You get to see the world and you get exposed to a lot of culture. So,
mm-hmm. When did the
and
music
how
bite?
Has that
go ahead.
I'm
yeah.
sorry.
No,
Michael,
go ahead.
You go ahead.
I just wondered, when did the music bug bite you? Was it during traveling around with Father? Did you actually go to music for some kind of solace?
You know, it's interesting. I feel a bit like a black sheep in the family. I always loved music. I used to sing in the car. We did a lot of road trips. We covered a lot of territory. And I think I didn't start playing guitar until I was about 13, but, it was always on, and I was always moved by music in a way that it just kind of transported me to some place. Like, it gave me a vision or a sense or almost a smell of something, and I really didn't understand what it was, but then when I started kind of getting into it, I was hooked, and, it was interesting to be a long-haired rock and roll, a teenager in a military and political family, but, It's just I couldn't not, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, Vic.
Yeah, I wanted to get you to talk a little bit more about your music. Do you sit down and write your own music? And if you do, what is that process like for you? Where does your inspiration come from?
Well, inspiration. Most of the stuff that I write is, in fact, I would just say all of it is all kind of. Reactions to life stuff. I've never been one to be able to sit down and write fictional songs. Some people are brilliant at it. For me, it's all just sort of a twist on whatever I've noticed or experienced. And for me, but my favorite way of going about it is to sort of just make a big huge pot of coffee and start the day in the morning and not leave the house and just hopefully something will rise out of each day and.
Mm-hmm.
Brett, we have a live chat room. I'm going to go ahead and thank everybody again. I'm going to go back to Sandy from Nebraska. What's a song of yours that you not of yours personally, but what's a song you listen to over and over and over again? She wants to know, which is actually a good question.
Good question.
I got a few ones that I just go to for personal stimulation.
Yeah, Stevie Wonder, always anything. Superstition. Any of that kind of stuff, the Eagles stuff I kind of go to, and I listen to a lot of. I'm a big fan of "Kind of Blue" by Miles Davis. It's probably one of my favorite records.
Oh yeah, good tunage, man. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that is it. And I've gone through so many different eras in my life, even playing in different styles of music and kind of, growing in and out of them. But
Mm-hmm.
I'd say those are some staples. I think one song that always sort of, there's just songs that have a power to move me, and I think that's the same for everybody else. And it's harder and harder to be a fan once you kind of know the tricks and you're doing it,
mm-hmm.
I guess,
true
if you will.
That, yeah.
And as soon as I got to the point where I was making money and living at music, I don't want to say that I'm no longer a fan, but it's hard for me to get into some of the newer stuff. So I always reach back to stuff from the mid-60s and the 70s because it just,
mm-hmm.
that's the stuff that got to me then. It was the Marvin Gaye stuff, and then it was the early 70s
right.
Grand Funk Railroad and the rock stuff. And, to me, that still sort of moves me more than even in my own.
And plus, back then, they didn't have auto-tuning, too. Just joking.
Yeah.
No.
That's the auto tune.
I was just talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and we're just kind of discussing about guys in my position that are sort of guitar-based singer-songwriters and guitarists that I kind of made my living as a background guitar guy. And I have to say that it really was after the '80s, and I lived through it, and I have the hair pictures to prove it. We got lost about a 15-year period where it was kind of uncool to be a guitar player. I think thanks, and I got to say thanks to John Mayer, like it's okay and kind of cool to come out of the shadows and be a guy who actually plays your instrument, who you know, studies his craft. And I think that's also very, very much the way it was in the 60s and 70s. Those guys were all terrific musicians and singers.
Yeah and they did their own stuff. But you got two albums out right now, correct?
That's correct.
And you have one called Love Says So. That's your second or first one?
The Love Says So is a single. That's also
single?
On the second record.
Okay.
And then, I kind of, as you imagine, for those of the people out there in the audience that are going, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like the guy with the hair and the bus and the women. I'm not the guy from the band Poison. And so, you know, most of the touring I've done and most of the feedback I've gotten is it's just been difficult, I think, to try and, that guy is a rock star, and it's just his name is so well known that we decided to go ahead and change and go with a band name. So we've been trying to bridge the gap to get away from the stigma of that. So the first record was a solo record. The second record we used a band name, and we had a new band, and we're working on the third now.
Yeah, and that band's name is Visual Flight Rules. So let's go to a little bit of music. This is the title track. Is this the title track off the second album?
You just played the title track. I don't know.
Well, this is Love Says So. Don't go anywhere. This is Brett Michaels coming right back.
Thinking too much, should be so easy. All we're talking about is falling in love, and people do it every day. What more do I have to say? Come on, baby, we're not crazy. No more listen, but some maybes. Love says, love says so. And I got something waiting. I don't see the point in waiting. Love says, love says so. Yeah, I keep on waiting, but it feels like I'm growing old. Are you making up your mind? Wasting all this time, afraid to let yourself go. Point in waiting. Love says so.
Michaels with Love Says So. Now, Brett, you work with some fantastic people. Longtime friend and collaborator Jason, who's worked with some amazing people. Tell us about Visual Flight Rules.
Well, okay, so the people on this record, Jason and I have spent, we worked together and kind of went to high school together. He's actually right now in Brazil with Alanis Morissette. And he's been with her for about 10 years, but he's played with, you know, when he's on the road with her, with everybody. And the drummer and my co-producer on that record is Herman Matthews, and he played with everybody from, you know, Whitney Houston, Kenny Loggins, Tom Jones, Sheryl Crow, blah, 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 blah. And we had Bill Champlin, who is the keyboard player from Chicago at one point, and has his band Sons of Champlin, which is a very amazing, still rocking band. And then, you know, just Dan Rothschild on bass, who on one of the songs played with Sheryl Crow and Shakira. You know, it's just I fell into this group of people that it's just been an absolute blessing. It's just so talented and super cool and willing to just kind of jump in and help out.
Absolutely. Vic?
Yeah, I was going to say that particular song right there that we just listened to, Michael, that was the one that I got all giddy about.
Yeah.
I was like, that's the song that I like. Well, it is absolutely clear that you have talent. Michael and I have discussed this so often before with different musician and artists and writers and producers that have been on At Home with Victoria, that we honestly feel these days a lot of people don't have to have talent in the music industry, whether it's auto-tuning or whatever it is, some of the other stuff that, you know, you guys can do behind the scenes to make someone sound, you know, great. But like I said, it's clear that you are not one of those people, so I'm just excited that we have the opportunity to interview you. But before you go, we do have some folks inside our chat room that want to know how they can follow you, and also if you are working on any upcoming projects that you want to tell us about.
Okay, well, the typical stuff is Facebook. You got facebook.com, I think it's / Visual Flight Rules, or vfrtheband.com. You can find stuff under my name is spelled Brettmikels. It's a little different. Either under my name or Visual Flight Rules, there's the Twitter, which is VFR the band, and all the usual stuff. Our YouTube account is also VFR the band, and we're kind of in the middle of writing and pre-production for the next record, and we're hopeful to get on tour. You know, like. Because there is so much out there, and there's, like you said, the technology is you can do it, you can kind of fake it in a way, and get out there. And there's just to get out, to be able to be on your show is a gift. So thank you for having me here. And there's just so many people.
Oh, our pleasure, actually. Yeah, absolutely. Brett, do you find actually going by way of through social media versus having the middleman be your highfalutin, you know, music agent and stuff? Do you think it's easier? You can reach a broader amount of people. I know it's hard for advertising. No one gets the splash that, say, Alicia Keys and Whitney Houston gets and everything like that. But wouldn't you agree that you can actually build a more loyal following through social media?
I would have to say yes and no. One thing that I find about social media and the Internet is it gives me a chance as an independent artist or us as a band to be able to have people find us in Latvia or, you know, Durban or someplace, you know, That is such a gift. The double-edged sword there is that there's billions of people out there, and you are, like you said, you kind of get lost in the milieu, and you get kind of crushed by the bigger ones. And I'm hoping forward, kind of looking for somebody who's willing to go out there and take that bullhorn and scream louder than I can. But
yeah.
I think it's a combination of both. You know, you get that, and then no matter what, though, I recognize that it comes down to the song. And if it's there and people like it, they're going to buy it, and they're going to follow you. If it's not, there's too much out there for them to go, yeah, that was okay, but I got, you know,
right.
Go to the next thing.
Yeah. Now, you have a little surprise, I guess, for us audience members here. What was the surprise? Or did you already say by touring?
No. We're recording now, and I just finished a demo of a song that that people have responded really positively to, and it's just a demo. It's not done, but I figured if you wanted to play something that no one's ever heard and truly
yes.
to live audiences, it's I sent that in, and I'm hopeful to have this next record kind of out and about as soon as I possibly can.
Absolutely. Well, I happen to have that little surprise that you sent me for the demo. So, Brett, I want to thank you so much for joining in Home of Victoria. Please understand that you have a new home here. Come back anytime you need stuff promoted and everything. We enjoy your music. We think you're fantastic, buddy, and we're always on your side.
Oh, wow. Thank you so very much. Absolutely. And best of luck to Cindy, right? Was her name?
Cindy, yeah.
Yes.
Cindy Johnson,
Cindy,
yeah. Absolutely. Find her on Facebook, buddy.
Story.
You'd love her. She's fantastic.
Yeah, we'll connect you guys.
Cool.
Take care, man.
Thank you so much. You guys take care.
Thank you so much. That was Brett Michaels. Yes, he just sent me this afternoon. It just kind of came at the last minute and stuff, so we're going to go ahead and close the show with this, Victoria. But I do want to thank Cindy Johnson and Brett Michaels and everybody up in chat for doing this. Kelly Whitney is joining us, too. And actually, Vic, the audience members need to know that. Quite frankly, Vic and Kelly came over. We had a couple glasses of wine. We did some, you know, did some karaoke. And then Vic's sitting there all very shy on the couch. And then all of a sudden, she stands up and she drops a beat and she starts rapping. So, Vic Gaither, I tell you, we're going to call you MCVG. And I think that's exactly because, and actually, Sandy from Nebraska says, oh, videotape it and post it. No, you have to be in the house with Michael and Vicky and Kelly. It will never be posted on YouTube.
I do have many, many, many hidden talents. That was quite something that I will never forget in my lifetime. They literally thought that I was reading off of a screen the entire time, yet I'm just there dropping my beats and rapping like nobody else. It was the most amazing thing. But one of these days, we'll see what happens. We may videotape it and put it on YouTube. I'll just have to prepare myself for all the insults. But being in the public eye, you're kind of used to that, so we completely get that. But listen, Michael, we do need to mention again, because there's a couple of people that came late and wanted to know if we mentioned anything about Steve's passing. So yes, we did, and Michael, again, you know, we'll say thank you, but we're working on sort of a series of special, a couple of mini shows that we feel will pay tribute to Steve in terms of his life and, you know, his work in the beauty and salon industry. We've got some shows coming up where I think it's kind of fitting that we can talk about Steve and, you know, tell stories and do it that way and have, you know, people his friends and family call in and sort of tell their stories and all of that good stuff. So I guess, MK, a lot of people came late to the show and didn't hear anything. So why don't you just finish up by saying, you know, what you need to say about that.
Once again, huge thank you to everybody who's lent support to Steve and I during this time. It's been very weird, and it's a learning experience. And the one thing I know is that Steve's pain is gone, and I'm very, very happy. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and close the show up with Brett Michaels' Visual Flight Rules, Love Me Like I'm Leaving. I think it's appropriate, but I want to thank everybody up in chat, Marby for producing, Kelly Whitney, and Sandy from Nebraska. Vic, this is Love Me Like I'm Leaving. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Days go by, too much going on. Ain't no time to talk about us. Well, there's your job and then your family, who always depends on you. There's no right time to bring this up, but then it comes to the time I gotta go, and you hold me, you won't let me go. Well, just love me like I'm leaving, like I'm walking out the door, and you start to believe that love is enough. All that we ever needed. Just love me like I'm a leaving. Oh, 3 o'clock in the morning, and the something you got to say. No, it just won't wait. You're worried about money and running out of time. And I said, baby, it's gonna be alright. You're not so sure that you owe me to stay. And it comes to the time that I gotta go. And you hold me, you won't let me go. Oh, and just love me like I'm leaving. Come walk in the door. And you start to believe that love is enough and is all that we ever needed. And don't wait for a clear night to thank your lucky stars. And don't wait for the right time to be grateful. Oh, and don't wait till I'm gone.
With Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.